Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area of Miami, Florida. Please join us as a special guest speaker comes now and challenges our hearts with a dynamic message from God's Word.
You might have been here when she ministered with us maybe a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, a great message, a message I still remember. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean that it won't happen. Let me tell you, that was such a powerful message to me because sometimes you pray for things and things don't happen when you pray and you continue to pray and things still don't happen. And sometimes you just kind of lose hope. You're like, okay, it's not going to happen. It's not part of God's will. But that message just stirred in me just another level of encouragement, knowing, hey, I can't give up. I got to keep praying for those things that I haven't seen until I actually see them. Because just because hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't happen. Amen. And so I feel blessed. She was with us in the women's ministries activity that they had yesterday. And she comes to us like from Lakeland, from Tampa, from the district, which that means that, like, for a lot of you may not know what that means. We are a church that we're part of a bigger group of churches in a section. We are part of Section 17. Florida has about 19 sections, 18 sections. Okay. I think there's one in the Cleves or something, but 17 sections. There's a few sections, and every one of those sections are around a geographical area that are composed of dozens of churches. And all those sections comprise what we know as the district, a Florida district. Every state, not every state, but usually the Assemblies of God are divided by different districts throughout the nation. And so to have a district official is kind of exciting because it is kind of a big thing. Even though she doesn't say she's a big thing, she's a big thing. And so we're glad that she has come and that she's going to spend a day with us. She spent since Friday. She's been with us since Friday, and that she's going to share a great, great word. And so I want you to give her a nice, pure heart welcome as she comes up. Deanna Schrodes, yes.
Thank you, Pastor. Oh, let me tell you, I am just crazy about your pastors. Have been for many years. And I'm just thankful for, yes, you too. That's right. You should be. I hope you know how blessed that you are to have them as your shepherds. Take good care of them, okay? Yes. I love them. I love this church. I'm so thankful to be with you again. What a great day we had yesterday with our ladies' event. It was just so blessed. So thank you for having me. Thank you for having me this morning. It's so such an honor. I want to share with you this morning about what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And, you know, whatever Jesus did, we're supposed to be doing, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. If you'll open your Bible to Matthew, the 9th chapter. We're going to just be in verses 35 through 38 today. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for this precious group of people. God, I just pray today you would help me to share what they need to hear. Help me to not say what they don't need to hear. I pray today, God, that this message would burn on their hearts. I pray that you would give them a passion like never before to do what you did. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're just going to go through these verses and talk about four things that Jesus did. And I'm hoping to ignite a passion in you to do the things that Jesus did if you're not already doing them. And if you are, to do them to a greater degree. The first thing is that Jesus ministered to their spiritual and their physical needs. Jesus ministered to their spiritual and their physical needs. Verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, let me just tell you that most of the time, we're clueless that the world is crying out to us every day, whether you're in your cubicle at work, whether you're in the store where you work, whether you're in the hospital where you work, whether you're in your neighbor, all the times over many years. And I just try to let this be on my radar every day, that I just key in when anybody tells me they're not feeling well, to say, can I pray for you? I have never had a person tell me no. In all my life, I have never had a person tell me no. And if they did, I would just say, well, I'm going to put you on my prayer list. It's that simple. I mean, you know, if they tell you no, please, it's not persecution. We think we're persecuted, but we're not. But you just say, can I pray for you? Healing is often the calling card to salvation. Healing, you know something? This church feeds people. I know you have food distribution. That's so amazing because you know what? I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, I just really don't hear a lot of what people say. I'm just thinking, when's lunch? I mean, every meeting I have with my leadership, I'm giving out food. Even though these are not starving people. Because you know what? They don't hear what I'm saying if they're hungry. And when people are literally starving, they don't hear you. When they're hurting, they want to be healed. It's very hard to get beyond the pain in your body, isn't it? There's an IHOP right around the corner from our church. It's walking distance. And in fact, at one time, every server in that place we had led to Christ from someone in our church witnessing to them or just going in to eat and talking to them. Praise God. There was a young lady. One Wednesday night, we went after church, and there was a young lady. She had the menus, and she was the hostess. No older than maybe 25 years old. Met us at the door with the menus, and she was like this. She was like this with the menus. I looked down, and I could see her. Something was coming out of her stomach. It was not a baby. I said, what's wrong? She said, I have a tumor. She said, I have a tumor that has to be removed. I said, why are you here? Why are you here tonight? She said, I'm a single mother. I have two little girls. I have to work. I said, has anyone prayed for you? She said, no. I later found out she did not know Christ as her Savior. I said, when you go on your break, you come over. We're going to pray for you. She came over. We laid hands on her. We prayed for her. And this is very, very important. What happened that night when we prayed for her? Nothing. Nothing. Do you know why I love to tell people that? Because so many people say, oh, I don't want to pray for people. What if they don't get healed? I'm going to be embarrassed. God's going to look stupid. I don't want to do that. It's, you know, if they don't get healed, then it just makes, you know, it just makes things uncomfortable. Can I just tell you, it's up to us to pray. It's up to God for the results. And God just tells us to pray for people. And the Bible says, too, that some were healed as they went. Everybody's not healed instantly. Some people are healed on the go. Some people are healed over weeks or months' time. It's our job to pray for people. So guess what? We prayed for her that night. Nothing happened. We just left and we told her, we're going to continue to lift you up. We're going to continue to pray for you. Just keep believing. Well, you know, we love you. Our church loves you. We'll just continue to believe. Thursday came. Thursday came and my husband said, let's go in there for lunch today. We went for lunch on Thursday. Less than 24 hours later, guess who met us at the door? The same young lady carrying the menus, walking straight up. No tumor, leading us to the table. Hallelujah! Woo! That's our God. That is our God. Now, she was full of questions the whole way through the table. Tell me more about this Jesus you were telling me about yesterday. What is the name of your church? Where do I find it? You said it's walking distance right around the corner. I mean, she was just all ears to hear about Jesus Christ. Healing is often the calling card to salvation. Jesus ministered to their physical needs, he ministered by feeding the people, by healing the people. And Jesus wants us to do the same, to reach out to people with food, to reach out to people by laying hands and praying for the sick that they will recover. The second thing is that Jesus saw the crowd. Jesus saw the crowd, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, you know what? If you're going to reach the lost, you have to actually see them. There's a crowd. It says when he saw the crowds. There is a crowd in Tampa where I live. There's a crowd in Lakeland where I work. There's a crowd in Miami. There's a crowd in your neighborhood. Jesus saw the crowd. He took the time to see the crowd. Can I just tell you, the crowd often looks like you don't want them to look. And they act like you don't want them to act. And they lash out. And many times, we just don't want to deal with it. We just don't want to deal with it. You know, I'll just make a confession here today. It's easier for me to deal with, I mean, I can go, I've been on many, many missions all over the world. It's easier for me to deal with homeless people. It's easier for me to deal with people overseas than it is to deal with some lady at, you know, at your kid's school who's just got a snotty attitude and you're like, oh, I can't even. Right? I mean, really. But let me just say, these are the people, they need the Lord. Those people who you just say, oh, I can't even. Those are the ones, they so need the Lord. They're lashing out at you. The people at your school, the kids at your school that are lashing out, they're in so much anger. And they need you. They need you. One night I was ordering a pizza for a meeting that we were having, a staff meeting we were having at the church. And I had ordered a pizza and a 2-liter for like years. I call and I order it that night, and thank God I had a couple staff members sitting in the room, because nobody would ever believe this crazy stuff happens. But I have witnesses to this whole thing about how insane it was. I call the pizza place, I order, and the person saw our name on the caller ID. And he said, is this a church? And I said, yes. And he says, I don't deliver to churches. And I thought, this is a joke. This has to be a joke. I said, okay, that's funny, but we want a large pizza, pepperoni, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I don't deliver to churches. And I said, why? And he said, I don't like churches. Now listen, I could have just hung up the phone. I could have been angry. I could have called the corporate office. I could have rattled off an email. I could have blasted him on Twitter. You know, hashtag idiot. I could have done all kinds of things to this guy. But you see, this is where the Holy Spirit wants us to have compassion, to see the crowd. Because contained in that crowd are people. When he's speaking to me, suddenly the Holy Spirit showed me exactly what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And this is not for special people, okay? Please, don't consider me special. This is for everybody. So he's telling me he hates churches, and suddenly the Holy Spirit tells me what to say. So I said, sir, I just want to apologize. He says, for what? I said, I just want to take the time to apologize for whatever happened to you. Whatever Christian did, whatever to you, whatever church, whoever failed to show you the love of Christ, can I just tell you, I'm so sorry. And he said, will that be hand-tossed or deep dish? And then he says, it'll be there in 30 minutes. And he hangs up. He hangs up. So 30 minutes later, we hear a car. The pizza's here. Our youth pastor goes out in the hallway to give him the money, and I hear the voice of the man on the phone. He says, I needed to come in person. I have to speak to the lady that I spoke to on the phone. So we come out into the hallway, and he introduces himself as James, and I introduce myself, and he says, listen, there's no excuse for my behavior, but I just wanted to talk to you about why I reacted like I did. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, but a couple years ago, my little girl passed away. He said, she was the only child that my wife and I had, and she passed away, and I found myself very angry with God. Why is God taking her away? And he said, and you know, some people are drawn together in tragedies and some people are drawn apart. He said, my wife and I have been drawn apart, and just a couple weeks ago she left me. He says, so I don't have anybody now. He said, I'm very angry. He said, the church is God. God is the church. It's all the same, the mixture. He goes, I don't want anything to do with any of this. And I said, James, I understand where you're coming from. I said, we haven't all been in that same situation, but we would love to pray with you. And I really thought he was softening up and that things were going to be moving forward. But you know what? He got angry again. And he put a finger in my face. He stepped forward. He put a finger in my face and he goes, oh, no. He goes, you wouldn't even begin to understand my pain. You wouldn't even begin to understand what's happened to me. It goes so beyond my wife and my daughter. You just can't even understand. And again, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit, he tells you to do strange things sometimes, told me to put a finger in his face. And so I stepped up, put a finger in his face, and I said, try me. And he says, okay. And he just goes off on a rant. He says, do you know what it's like to have family out there and you don't know who they are? Do you know what it's like to be separated from your mother and you don't even know where she is? Do you know what it's like to be separated from your father and you don't even know who he is? Do you know that, you know, if you have brothers and sisters and they're out there in this world and you don't even know who your family is? By this time, the staff members are crying. And our youth pastor says, James, actually, she does know because you've just described Pastor Deanna's life story. And I explained to James how I was born to a mom who became homeless, who had nowhere to go, didn't know what to do. It's back in the 1960s, a totally different time, and she's living in shame and has no idea where to go and where to turn to and tries to manage this for 47 days, and it doesn't work. And I go to a foster home. After going to that foster home, I'm adopted. And then I'm separated from my mother, my brother, and my sister for 27 years. And I explain to him all of this briefly. And then I say, you know, James, I'm now on the other side of all that. And I've actually found them. And I said, and God has blessed my life. And I would be happy to not only pray with you, but I'd be happy to actually help you find your family. And he says, what? You would do that for me? I said, absolutely. He forgot all about that pizza, and so did we. And he stood there and just cried for 45 minutes as we prayed for him. From then on, the address would come up on the caller ID for a pizza to our house or our church, and James would say to everybody at work, that's my pizza. And he would come to our home. My kids would say, just take the pizza in the dining room. Mom is going to be with James for a while. And we would talk about where he was in his search of finding his family. And about what God was doing in his life. Here's what I want you to know about this. If we're going to reach the crowd, we have to actually see the crowd. We have to see them. And you know what? When I share the word of God, sometimes I'll pick just random stories that the Holy Spirit inspires me to. But most of the time, I'm just sharing things about how the Holy Spirit has led me in talking to people. Just because, you know, Christianity is the most exciting lifestyle ever. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And it's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for preachers. It's for every one of you. And he wants to use you in that way. He wants you to see the crowd. He wants you to reach out to them. And the angrier they are, the more they need you and the more they need God. Listen to the Holy Spirit before you go on a rant, before you tweet about somebody or subtweet, as my daughter instructs me it's called. You know, before you go off on a subtweet rant, you know, you need to love the person. The third thing is Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. There are so many millions of people out here in Miami. They are helpless, lost sheep without a shepherd. They don't know what you know. Do you know how many people I've led to Christ? And, you know, as I've said before, none of this is bragging today. I share this not to say, oh, pat me on the back. I share it to say, please, people, get a passion for what God wants to do through you. Get a passion. I've led more people than I can count to Christ through thanking business owners for what they do. I know this sounds crazy, right? But let me explain. You get a new dishwasher, and you're using it, and everything's working fine. Okay, do you call the company and go, hey, the dishwasher's working great? No, you just call them or write to them when it breaks down, right? So most people only talk to a business owner when something is breaking down. They don't say, hey, you guys are having a great business here. You're doing a great business. You don't talk to the owner or to the workers there and tell them what a phenomenal job they're doing unless something's wrong. Then you complain. So I promise you, I shared some stories yesterday at the ladies' event. I don't have time to share them all, but I have won so many people to Christ just through thanking them. And we just strike up a conversation, and that conversation keeps going, and then it goes on and on and on, and finally, one day they're being led to Christ. One of those situations was a young lady named Leah. Leah works at our dentist's office. When we moved to our new home, we were too far away to drive to the one we went to before, and we also changed insurance. How many of you know insurance can sometimes be of the devil? Woo! Yes. So, apologies to anybody in here who works in insurance, but we we needed to change insurance, and it was just a mess. And Leah was just a young lady in her 20s. She took all this time to straighten out our insurance problems. All this extra time. And then because it took all this extra time, my family was behind on appointments. I was a little bit irritated because for a while there, it was like every week one of us was there. And, you know, it was just like a revolving, constant revolving door in and out of there of my family of five. And so Leah was helping us. And one day the Holy Spirit said to me, find her the nicest card you can find. Find a beautiful card. And then don't just sign it. Write all of your thanks and appreciation. And then take some extra time to say, this is what I see in you. These are some character traits. These are some qualities that I see in you. I write this whole thing, mail it off. Within a few days, she calls. She says, Mrs. Schrodes, I have never in my life received anything like that card. She said, I brought it to work. I copied it. There's a copy on the dashboard of my car now where I can see it. There's a copy on the mirror where I get dressed in the morning. There's a copy on my desk at work. I called my mom to tell her about it. She says, I've told so many different people. Nobody's ever spoke to me this way before. Wow. You know, it's just really amazing how many people out there have never heard words of affirmation. Isn't it? Pretty amazing. So, a couple weeks later, I'm back in there for another appointment that I'm, again, kind of frustrated in my mind, like, here we are again, back at this office. And I come up to the desk where Leah is working, and I'm standing there to fill out the forms, and here's her computer, and on the side of it is a yellow sticky note. And it has a little stick figure of a girl, and it says Deanna, D-E-A-N-N-A. That's my name. I don't know many people with my name. I only had one girl with my name and all throughout school growing up. So I'm like, Leah, why is my name on your computer with this little girl figure? I'm like, that's kind of weird. She says, oh, that's my niece. I said, oh, your niece. You have a niece named Deanna. She said, I did have a niece named Deanna. She said, my niece Deanna died 2 years ago of leukemia. And she said she was 8 years old. She said, it's been really the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And she stands up, pulls back her shirt, and on her back, she's got a tattoo of a little angel. And sure enough, there, tattooed across her back is my name, Deanna. She begins to cry, and she says, Mrs. Schrodes, when you walked in here, and you began to talk to me, and then you sent me the card, and you just sign it, love, Deanna. She said it was as if God sent an angel from heaven. She said it was as if God was speaking to me directly. She said, and every time you come in here, I just feel something. And every word you say, I just drink it in. I said, Leah, would you like to have lunch? She says, I would love to. We began to have lunch together. We began to talk. A couple months later, I invited her to our women's ministries tea that we have at our church. And that night, Leah walked the aisle to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He had compassion on them, like sheep without a shepherd. He wants you to have compassion, not just to see them, but to have compassion as he has compassion. Now, what time are we used to ending here? Or does it matter? We're good. We're good. Okay. I tell you what, this is a bonus because in the Spanish, I get to talk twice as long in here because it's interpreted in the first service. Okay. So I'm going to give this group a bonus. A bonus. You're getting a bonus today. So y'all go out and you say, we got a bonus in church. Woo woo. Okay. Weeks later after this, I didn't share this story in the first service. Weeks later, my husband and I fly to a wedding. We fly to a wedding. It's in New Jersey. One of our people got married there. One of our people from Celebration got married there, from Celebration Church where we pastor. So we head there, and my husband goes up to the room to go to the hotel to go to sleep, and I said, I'm going to go downstairs and sit in the jacuzzi for a while. I'm kind of, I'm just wanting some relaxation here. So I head down there, and when I get in there, there's two ladies sitting in there. And so I said, hey, what are you guys up to? What are you guys doing here? And they said, we're here for a dental convention. It's happening right here. It's happening in Philadelphia, actually. And I said, oh, I love the dentist. And they said, okay. They said, actually, you're the first person that's ever told us that. So why? Why do you love it? And I said, I told them everything I just told you. I told them everything I just told you about Leah. I said, matter of fact, when I walk into the dentist's office, it's kind of weird. I mean, people come back from behind the desk to give me a hug. It's like a party. I'm like, they're kind of like my family now. And they're just sitting there listening to all this. And so at the tail end of me telling them everything I just told you, these two ladies sitting in the jacuzzi, at the tail end of this, here comes this lady walking down into the jacuzzi. And all she hears me say is just the tail end of stuff. And when she gets settled, she says, did I just hear you telling these women that Jesus heals people? And I said, yes. I said, Jesus saves people. Jesus heals people. Jesus changes people's lives. She said, you're kidding me. Now, can I just tell you, don't assume everybody knows this, right? Don't assume. She says, I didn't know that. I said, do you have a church background? She says, matter of fact, I do. She said, but my church believes that all that stopped with the days of the Bible. She says, my church doesn't believe that Jesus heals today. No, they believe Jesus was a good man, Jesus was the Savior, but they don't believe Jesus is still doing miracles today. I said, ma'am, this is your lucky day. Jesus is doing miracles. Jesus is healing people. She says, well, you don't understand. She says, this is incredible to hear because she said, my husband has a rare form of eye cancer. We're here in this hotel. She says, we are supposed to actually be in Philadelphia because there's the Will's Eye Clinic is there and he needs to go there for treatment. She said, but there's a big dental convention and we couldn't get any other hotel but this one. And she said, my husband is sick. He needs, my husband needs a miracle. I said, awesome. Let's pray. She said, when? I said, right now. She says, here in this jacuzzi? I'm like, yes. So I just lay hands on her and start praying. These dental ladies are like this. I mean, they can't even believe it, okay? Can't even believe it. And I'm just praying down the power here in this jacuzzi. And we finished talking, and I said, wonderful. I believe God is going to heal your husband, and, Jesus is awesome, and he's alive. And I said, wait, I didn't even ask your name. I said, what is your name? And she says, Deanna. True story. I mean, really? Isn't that amazing? So, okay, here's the thing. She tells me her name is Deanna, and then these ladies get up and they leave, and it's just Deanna and I in this jacuzzi. And she says, you know what? She goes, this is so amazing. She says, I just want to ask you something. She said, my family's here. She said, their family was a Spanish family. She says, we're Spanish family, very large, very close. She says, everyone is so upset about Frank and his cancer. She said, 50 family members have come here with me in this hotel. We're all going together to Will's Eye Clinic. I said, what? She says, 50 family members have traveled here. I mean, well, they're from the area, but she says, 50 family members have come here to help Frank. And she says, but they don't know what you just told me here. She says, we have a private ballroom in this hotel to eat dinner together tomorrow night. She goes, do you think you could drop by and just talk to the whole family about what you told me about Jesus? Seriously. Like, Can you believe this? Like, can I just tell you this is how it works? All right? And it's not because you're a pastor. It's not because you're a minister. It's not because of any of that. You just open up your heart and you begin to share with people. He saw the crowd and he had compassion on the crowd because he knew they were harassed and helpless. Number four, Jesus called for help. Jesus called for help. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is for you. And can I just tell you that God will move in your life to the degree that you want to be inconvenienced? Do you know that most of the miracles, if not all of them, I need to study this deeper, but most all the ones I can find, when Jesus did a miracle, he was interrupted. It might even be all of them. I'm not telling you 100% because, don't quote me on that. And then we go out of here and we find a miracle that has, slipped through somehow. But most, if not all the miracles, he was interrupted. He was on the way to do something. He was busy. God will move in your life to the degree that you're willing to be interrupted. You're willing to be inconvenienced. You're willing for something to happen that you didn't plan on that day. He's calling for workers in the harvest field. I'm going to tell you one final story today. A couple years ago, our church was just in a difficult place, and my husband was just depressed. He was tired. I felt the same way. And he says, I want to take a day off. I don't want to talk about the church. I don't want to hear about the church. I just want to rest. So we went to Clearwater Beach. So my husband decides he's going to sit on the sand like he always does because he's had skin cancer. So he never goes out, and he always puts an umbrella up and stuff. And so he's slathered down with all this stuff. He puts an umbrella up, and he's just sitting there. We don't have Bibles. We don't have Christian t-shirts. We've got none of that. We're just showing up, sitting on the sand. And he sits down, and I go into the water. And as soon as he sits down and gets relaxed, the lady next to him says, can I talk to you? Can I just tell you that, the Holy Spirit just knows what people need, and he assigns people to you. So he says, okay. And she says, I don't know why I'm talking to you. I don't even know if you can help me. I don't even know if you know anything about anything like this. But she says, I'm part of a church, and yesterday the pastor resigned, and now I'm really depressed and don't know what to do. So my husband is talking with her for several hours as they're sitting there on the beach and just talking her through this situation. And meanwhile, I'm out in the water and I'm just relaxing. I'm just floating around and relaxing. And suddenly the Holy Spirit just breaks through all this and says to me, Deanna, see those two women over there? I said, yes. He says, go lead them to me. I said, God, this is my day off. And he says, oh, really? I don't know if God talks to you like this, but he does. He talks to me like this. He says, oh, really? This is your day off? I said, yes, this is my day off. He says, did you mean anything you were saying in church yesterday? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, specifically, did you mean anything you were singing yesterday? I've learned this. Christians don't tell lies. We just sing lies. We sing, if you can do anything, Lord, you can use me. And we sing, I surrender all, withholding nothing. We sing all this stuff. We lift our hands, and then we go out there, and we're on the run, and God's like, do this. And we're like, oh, this is my day off. I'm dying. And God's like, do you really mean this stuff that you're singing? Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. All right, God, I'm going. So I get up, I start swimming over there to them. Okay, let me just tell you, this is hilarious. You can't make this stuff up. It's just, I swim over there, and here's these two sisters. And I start the conversation by asking, where are you guys from? I found out they're from Kentucky. They've saved all their money for several years to come on a vacation to Clearwater. And so here they are vacationing, and these women were country before country was cool. I mean, they were country. I tell you, finally I asked them if they've ever heard of Jesus. And the one says this, "Do you mean are we saved?" I am originally from Baltimore. I just say, "Are you saved?" They're like, it took them 2 minutes just to say the word saved. You know, "Are you saved?" I'm like, "Well, if you mean like a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, saved. That's what I mean, saved." And the one says, "Oh, we can't be saved." I said, "What do you mean you can't be saved?" "Well, mom says we can't be saved." I said, "What do you mean your mom says you can't be saved? Like your mom says that she has the authority to say that you can't be saved?" "Yes. Mom says we can't be saved." I said, "Why not? Why would your mother say that you can't be saved?" "Well, mom says we have to change too many things about us before we could ever be saved." I said, "What is it that you would, what are these things, if you don't mind telling me, what are these things that you would have to change?" "Well, we'd have to take out all our earrings from our ears. We'd have to stop wearing all this makeup on our face." And so come to find out, they're raised in such an environment where they cannot know Jesus Christ or serve him if they are wearing earrings, they're wearing makeup, they're wearing pants, and so forth and so on. I explained to them, "Girls, God loves you just like you are. And God will take you just like you are." And I said, "Can I just blow your minds and tell you, I'm saved." And their eyes got big. And they said, "You are saved." They're looking at me with several holes in my ears, a face full of makeup, big hoopy earrings, and a black bathing suit. I said, "I'm not only saved, I'm ordained minister." And they said, "You've got to be kidding." I'm like, "No." And I explained to them, Jesus takes you just as you are. He loves you. He doesn't care if you're wearing makeup or no makeup. He doesn't care if you have earrings or no earrings. He could care less. He just wants your heart. And tears came to my eyes when one of them said, "Well, if we can be saved, we sure do want to be saved." Isn't that precious? Those two received Jesus Christ in the water at Clearwater Beach. Isn't that amazing? That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. If somebody will just reach out and tell them. And see, here's the problem. In so many of our churches, I'm not saying this church, I'm just saying the church at large. In so many of our churches, instead of being led by the Holy Spirit, people think they are the Holy Spirit. They do. Instead of compelling people, they're repelling people. They're repelling people. And here's the thing. It says, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. He's calling you." And then it says that he had compassion because they're sheep without a shepherd. They're helpless. I love your pastors, and I love this church, but there's something I need to tell you today. In both services, God wants every one of these seats to be filled. And here's the thing. Some of you sit here, and I say this not because your pastors told me anything. They haven't told me anything about what I'm saying today. This is not an attack. Please don't take it that way. But as Christians, we sit here. We sing the songs. We feel good. And it's awesome to have a pastor like Pastor Dennis and Pastor. It's awesome that you guys know you can call them. And they're there for you. And this church is there for you. But how many of your friends, they don't have that? They don't have a pastor. They don't have a church family. They don't have anybody to call. But we get very comfortable just sitting here and keeping all of this to ourselves. We don't even think that person in the cubicle next to us at work, they don't know Jesus and they don't have a pastor. They're lost and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And meanwhile, we just come into the church every week and we just enjoy being with one another. And we don't even think, I should be telling this person, like, they should be coming with me next Sunday because they don't have what I have. They don't have the blessing I have. Let me tell you, what do people do in the world when their lives fall apart? I don't know, because you know what? I rely on my church family. Do you? Yeah. When my world falls apart, which it has a couple times, Because my family's not perfect. My life isn't perfect. I call on my church family. So who are your friends calling on that don't know Jesus? They're looking to you to tell them. And my purpose to talk to you today isn't to say, oh, don't, isn't it just so inspiring to have Sister Deanna come and tell us these wonderful stories? No, the purpose is to say, my friend, God wants to do these same types of thing in your life. He wants to use you in the same way. The Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. That means what he's done for me, he'll do for you. And he is faithful to speak to you and to tell you, hey, you, go over and talk to this man. Go over and talk to this woman. Go over and talk to these children. God will help you so that not only will every seat be filled in here two times a Sunday, but I believe it will have to be more than that. I do. I believe it will have to be more than that if everybody gets the heart to do what Jesus did. That is his heart for you, and that is his heart for this church. And I tell you this today because I love you, and I love this church, and I love this city. I want to see, I mean, this is an amazing place where God wants to do great things. Truer words could never be sung like they were this morning. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Will you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, God, for these pastors. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, Lord. Thank you that you came to save us. You came to cleanse us. You came to accomplish only what you could. And I pray, Lord God, for those here that don't know you today. Today, you may be here today, and you are the harassed and helpless one. You are the one that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. You came here today to Pure Heart Christian Center. Maybe you came just because a friend convinced you to, invited you to. Maybe you have no idea why you're here, but you're here on a divine appointment today. Today, if you're the one that's lost, a sheep without a shepherd, I just want to invite you. Just lift a hand and say, that's me. I need to know Jesus today. I don't know Jesus, and I need to know him today. Or I need to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. Maybe you've been away from Jesus for a while, but now today is your day to come home. And this church is a church that loves to say, welcome home. I know you well enough to know that you are a church that loves to say, welcome home. If you're here today and you want to come back to Jesus, just lift a hand and say, that's me. That's me. And now this call is for the rest of you. If you say, Deanna, as you shared today, there's just a fresh fire ignited within me to be a missionary to Miami. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to just keep this blessing of salvation and Pure Heart Christian Center to myself. But I want to go 100%. I want to be all in to be a missionary to Miami. If that's you today, as they play Greater Things Have Yet to Come, greater things are still to be done in this city. They're going to lead us in that. And if you're answering a call today to say fresh and anew, yes, I am a missionary on assignment in Miami, I want you to just come and make that commitment today. Will you do that today? Sing that today, my friend. You're the God of this city. God of this city. We're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you. Just come. You're the Lord of this nation. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope. You're the hope for the hopeless. You're the peace for the restless. You're the peace for the restless. You are. There is no God like our God. There is no one like our God. Come on, sing it and come. There is no one like our God. Hallelujah. Sing it again. You're the God. You're the God of the city. You're the Lord of this nation. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness.
You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no God like ours. There is no one like our God. No one. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website at www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.